you need it. Is, hold on, who is this, Ben? Is he new?
No, Ben, they've been here before.
Ben Hayes? Okay. Yeah. Welcome. Hey, Elle is back.
Yep, Elle's back.
Oh, Jacob is back. Hey, Jacob, you're
and
back.
And Dr. Dane is joined the room.
Hey, we're getting more of the crew.
So that's
good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Should we try this beat in Houston so we actually can get Cal into the room? Because we need Cal to talk about the thing we spoke in the morning. Does Cal hear this? Cal!
I'm sure he's listening somewhere out in the ether.
You know Cal is like the Candyman. If you say him 5 times, he will appear.
That's funny. Okay, welcome back, everybody. We'll jump into it. Where are we doing? Top of the hour. Let's do it.
Yeah, top one.
Air horn.
There it is.
Yes.
Okay, top story right now is from The Verge. Microsoft reports their Q3 earnings, $3.6 billion, which is up 16% year over year, with hardware revenue up 166% year over year. And on continued demand for Xbox Series X and S consoles. That's pretty freaking good.
Did you say $3 billion?
MSFT. Let's check the stock ticker. And sure enough, it's up a 3%. And the market's only been open for like less than an hour.
Did you say they sold $3 billion this quarter?
It says Microsoft reports overall gaming revenue of $3.6 billion.
Which
is up 16% over the year, with hardware revenue up 166% year over year. Meaning the Xbox Series X and S consoles have more than doubled in sales.
So this wouldn't be impacted by the way China has changed their LinkedIn strategy, or sorry, the way LinkedIn has changed their China strategy.
No, LinkedIn's a small part of Microsoft's revenue, especially China. So I don't think that was a huge financial issue. It wasn't even raised, honestly.
Yeah, it wouldn't make a ripple, actually.
And the second biggest story is that Google reports Q3 revenue of $65 billion, up 41% year over year. That's amazing. Net income of $19 billion, up from $11 billion. So, Jesus, year over year. That's not quite double, but like 80% increase in net income for the year, year over year. That's unbelievable. Google Cloud revenue up of $5 billion, up from $3.4 billion. Again, that's like a near 30-40%.
4%.
Yeah, just killing it. Totally killing it. And I don't even see it in my top list yet, but Spotify just did their report, and I only know that because I'm a significant shareholder. And they killed it. Oh, no, here it is. It's like number 11 on the list here. I just jumped down to the bottom. It says Spotify reports Q3 revenue of $2.9 billion, up 27% year over year. Fantastic. Monthly active users rose. This means, how many more active users each month? 19% increase in monthly active users. That's fantastic. Year over year, 381 million as premium users. That means paid subscribers, 381. Jesus Christ. I remember when it was like fucking 15 million. And every time it would bump, it would be every time they got to like, they had these internal milestones when they got to like 20 million subscribers, 30 million subscribers, 40 million subscribers, 15. I remember congratulating Daniel every time they got to 20 and then 30 and then 40 and then 50 and then 60. They're up to 380 fucking million subscribers. Holy shit. So the premium subscribers also rose 19% year over year to, oh no, they're up to 172 million paid, 380 total. Okay, thank God. I thought I was losing my goddamn mind for a second. I was like, there's no way they got up to 380 that fast. Ad sales rose 75% year over year, and that's substantial because that's a main revenue stream. They're having an ad network. And because you've got, if you're an advertiser or if you're a marketer.
Tyler.
Yes.
Tyler, you like your friend, right?
Daniel?
Don't mention to the media that they do ads.
They'll start coming for him, yeah. I mean, he's got to deal with the record labels. Like the fucking New York Times are like kitty cats compared to dealing with the record labels, I can assure you. So he's dealing with flying vampire bats, you know, compared to these little kitty cats at the New York Times. Like, that's like,
these are the pros at sucking blood.
Yeah, this is like serious shysters going on over there in the record industry. So ad sales rose 75% year over year, and that's awesome. Because that's a key revenue stream for them. But now they're also going into the whole e-commerce thing next quarter, where they just announced the partnership with Shopify to allow all of the musical influencers, we could call them, on their platform to start selling their merch. That's genius, amongst all the other things they could sell there. And the ad sales rose 75%. That's interesting because if you are somebody with something to sell, the question is, how much does it cost you to get a new customer? And then you have several options. You can go put ads in a newspaper, a print newspaper. You could go buy billboards. There's all kinds of things you could do. You could buy ads on Google, and you can try and target them based on Google's data. You can try go on Facebook and try and target them on Facebook, or you could go on Spotify and try and target them based on some of the data that Spotify has. And I believe that people, marketers and advertisers, are sleeping on the power of audio ads in Spotify. I think people actually pay way more attention to the ads in Spotify than they do in, for example, YouTube.
Hey, Tyler.
Yes.
This is Elle. Hello, everyone. I was brushing my teeth. I'm so sorry.
Well, for the past 3 months, where the hell? Well, that was a long toothbrush session.
Oh, no, I have a project. Unfortunately, I can't talk about it. But yeah, I would say, is this going to impact premium users? Because I pay not to hear ads and
exactly
see ads
right.
And all that stuff.
Damn.
Yes, right. No.
Want my word to do that.
No, you don't. That's the whole point of being a paid subscriber. You get to avoid the ads.
Well, HBO Max still gives me ads, even though I pay for that tier.
By the way, yeah, there's, who is it? Some of the NBC, Peacock, or whatever. There's the TV channels that are now going on demand are also having free on demand, kind of like Spotify does, where you have the option. You can have the free platform or the subscriber platform and remove the ads. But yeah, you don't. There's really not any hype about Spotify ads. I think it's a sleeper wave for people to get new users and customers. Although you know, of course, you have to beta test all this stuff. You have to do A/B testing, all of that online marketing jazz. But something tells me they might have something good there. The next one is from. Oh no. We have to scroll back up to the top because I jumped down to number 9 for that one. There was also Robinhood reported, and that went bad. They had a bad quarter. Q3 Robinhood revenue of $365 million, which is up 35% year over year, but missed on their estimates. It was estimate of $431 million, and they only had $365 million. That's a substantial loss. Though you don't see that very often. Usually when there's a miss, it's like they miss by a little bit. This is like, that's a holy shit miss. That's like you didn't get close. You don't see that very often. I have few memories of such things. It's that's a big stumble. And it might be due to in part they themselves are still a very new company. This might be only, how many quarters have they even been publicly listed? Like 3? and maybe they're still getting the groove into the swing of things of how to set expectations going quarter to quarter. Anyway, the stock price is now down to exactly where when it IPO'd. So they better figure some stuff out over there at Robinhood. So back to the top of the list now is we had the Microsoft, had Google quarterly report. And then the third biggest story is about Activision Blizzard, that amid harassment fallout, Blizzard says it will pause plans for next year's BlizzCon event to focus on supporting its team and game development. So they're canceling BlizzCon. If the event's in February and it's already November, honestly, you have to make, as somebody who organizes events, not so different from BlizzCon myself, you have to have decided at least a month ago if you were going to do that event. So they knew about a month ago, they were watching, but they're announcing it now. But they pretty much knew a month ago, which tells me they were watching COVID trend lines, yada, yada, travel, international travel. They realized this ain't going to be, it's not worth paying all of the expenses to do this physical event. And so they're not doing it. I think it has a lot to do with COVID and whatnot, but they're saying, they're not saying, we're not going to do the event because of COVID. They're saying we're not doing the event because we want to focus on supporting our team. Huh? No one's ever canceled it with that. Whatever. Okay. So you say. Anyway, the next one is from Ars Technica that the FCC, the Federal Communications Agency, basically, they oversee everything to do with radio and telecom and all that. The FCC orders China Telecom, which does operate in America, they do business in America, but China Telecom now has to stop providing its services in the United States within 60 days. It says that the U.S. Unit is subject to Chinese government control and influence. So, I mean, it's kind of a two-parter. Number one, China Telecom is no longer allowed to operate in America. Kind of part two, more interesting, is the reason is because you're leaking that juicy data to the CCP. And this is exactly...
Yeah, I just covered this story elsewhere, and one of the impacts that I noted was that they have about 330 million subscribers.
Not anymore, they don't. That's a lot of subscribers. Well, you mean in where? Where do they have 330 million? In China?
I'm pulling the story back up right now.
Because in the U.S., it would be, that's the population of the U.S. And last I checked, not everybody's using it in the U.S. So the FCC today wrote to block China Telecom from the U.S.
That's
market.
Worldwide, 335 million.
Yeah, that makes sense. And nearly all of that's in China, where they are one of the biggest in China. They're being blocked.
Huh? Do you think Clubhouse will be one of those that will like move the servers and stuff off? Like away from China, off their service, because that's where that company is, right?
No. So, you're talking about Agora, which is a audio pipe, you know, that you can build a chat app on top of, like Clubhouse. By the way, so is the app that Spotify bought which used to be called Locker Room, and then once they acquired it, they changed the name to Green Room.
Green Room.
Is also...
I found the details on American customers. The U.S. government said in April 2020, China Telecom targets its mobile virtual network to more than 4 million Chinese Americans, 2 million Chinese tourists a year visiting the United States, 300,000 Chinese students at American colleges, and more than 1,500 Chinese businesses in America. There you go.
Cool. Well, that's a lot of information going back to the CCP, a few 6 million folks. So, But the question, by the way, do not, please stay with us, because you're going to hear other headlines today that connect to this article about America shutting down China Telecom. I will ask you to remind me in about 30 minutes, what was that article we read about shutting down some other Chinese company? And somebody will please remind me. Ah, China Telecom.
No, it was, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
Just remember that. It's relevant to what, there's something else going on that connects to this in a way that nobody's pointing out, which is our bread and butter here at Tech News Around the World, is we have all these other headlines, and we find ways that these puzzle pieces connect that I'm not aware of anyone else who does what we do exactly. But this is an important puzzle piece, that the FCC today is shutting down China Telecom. And more importantly, the reason why, which I can read for you, the FCC pointed to a changed national security environment with respect to China, since the commission authorized China to provide telecommunication services in the U.S. almost two decades ago. The company's ownership and control by the Chinese government, meaning the CCP owns China Telecom. So the ownership and control by the Chinese government raises significant national security and law enforcement risks by providing opportunities for China Telecom, its parent entities, and the Chinese government to access, store, and disrupt and or misroute U.S. communications, which in turn allows them to engage in espionage and other harmful activities against the United States. So this ain't, we're not just banning them for no reason. We're banning them because you are using it for espionage and for harmful activities against the United States. Hold that thought. More to come. To be continued. Dot, dot, dot. Put a pin in that one. So, what was I ranting about? Besides China Telecom, there's another headline today. We'll just jump to it now. That Hikvision is a camera company. It's one of the biggest China camera companies in the world. And where is...
We got a hat trick today, Tyler.
I think we might. Hold on.
We got a China hat trick.
So Hikvision and... Oh boy, watch this. Best Buy.
Lorex. That's Easy right. Vision.
Yeah, watch this. Here it is. U.S. retail giants. Oh, now I know what the hat trick is, the one in Florida.
Booyah.
Yes. So the U.S. retail giants pull Chinese surveillance tech from its shelves. Lorex and Ezviz. Removed from stores over links to human rights abuses. U.S. retail giants Home Depot and Best Buy and Lowe's and others have pulled the Chinese video surveillance technology makers Lorex and Ezviz from their stores' shelves over links to human rights abuses. Home Depot said it's committed to upholding the highest standards of ethical sourcing, and we immediately stopped selling the products from Lorex when this was brought to our attention. Home Depot also stopped selling Ezviz products. They confirmed Best Buy said it was discontinuing its relationship with both Lorex and Ezviz. Lowe's also removed Lorex from its shelves following inquiries. Lorex is a subsidiary of Dahua Technology, and Ezviz is the video surveillance camera brand owned by Hikvision or Hikvision. Dahua and Hikvision, both headquartered in China, were added to the U.S. government's economic blacklist in 2019 after the companies were linked to China's ongoing efforts to suppress ethnic minorities in Xinjiang province, where most Uyghur Muslims live. The U.S. government says Beijing relies heavily on Hikvision and Dahua and other technology companies to supply the surveillance equipment to surveil the Uyghur population. The Biden administration called the human rights abuses in Xinjiang a genocide and blamed Chinese video surveillance manufacturers of having been implicated in human rights violations and abuses in the implementation of China's campaign of repression, mass arbitrary detention, and high technology surveillance against Uyghurs, Kazakhs, and other members of the Muslim minority groups. United Nations says Chinese authorities have detained over a million Uyghurs in internment camps in recent years. China has long denied the allegations. So now you know why these cameras that are being used, and they have facial recognition built in. That's the other, that's what the
that BBC, juicy data.
BBC reported that. So that's what got Biden interested in these cameras, was that the BBC and the UN and Amnesty International were saying, hey, we've just found out that those cameras and those Uyghur detention camps have, and all the cameras around Xinjiang province outside the camps in the cities have facial recognition. Oh, shit. Turns out those cameras have sister brands They, just like when Huawei was banned from America, Huawei made a new brand called Honor, H-O-N-O-R. Kind of sneaky. And tried selling Honor in places where they're not allowed to sell Huawei. So too has Hikvision and Dahua, where they repackage, rebrand their shit, and sell it. And just like the last article that we read about the China telecom doing espionage on millions of Chinese folks in the U.S. or anyone who uses their services, the issue is that these cameras are also being used for espionage. But there's more. As our friend Chris just said, we got a hat trick today, y'all, because there's a POS system. Chris, can you remember the name of the POS system?
PAX, P-A-X.
X.
Yeah, that's what the one I aimed for right a few minutes ago.
So check this story out. Nikkei Japan reporting 4 hours ago, shares of Chinese payment systems plunge. Gee, I wonder why. Well, we know why. Because PAX is a big, what we call POS system, point of sale system. When you go and buy, you know, those big box of donuts you buy every morning and you eat in the bathroom all by yourself, that place where you paid for those donuts, when you swiped your credit card or whatever, that payment system is statistically very likely to be PAX. PAX has an incredible number of, I want to find the article we read earlier. Here it is. Here we go. FBI raids PAX Technology at their HQ, which is a Chinese-owned company from Shenzhen, China, just across the border from Hong Kong. U.S. federal...
Tell me it's for data breach.
U.S. federal investigators today raided the Florida offices of PAX Technology, a Chinese provider of point-of-sale devices used by millions of businesses and retailers globally. Krebson Security has learned the raid is tied to reports that PAX systems may have been involved in cyber attacks on the U.S. and EU organizations. Headquartered in Shenzhen, China, PAX Technology has more than 60 million point-of-sale terminals in use throughout 120 countries. Earlier today, Jacksonville, Florida-based WOKV reported the agents with the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security had raided the local technology warehouse. In an official statement, investigators told the TV station only that they were executing a court-ordered search. Now, to get a court order, that means the FBI went to a judge.
You have to have substantial evidence.
Correct. You got it, Sharon. The FBI went to the judge and got a court order based on substantial evidence that they are doing what we think they are doing. So they've gone in and shut that shit show down because it's worse than you possibly could imagine. They're sending the data back to China. That's number one. Just like China Telecom, just like Hikvision and the camera companies. But even worse, when cyber attacks happen, they can freeze the companies and their financial data for extortion purposes. This is what cyber attacks are about. Oh, and by the way, there's another cyber attack going on point-of-sale systems in another part of the world at gas stations, which happens to be in Iran currently, like in the past 24, 48 hours. And the question is, when you're not allowed to pay for something, makes it hard to get it, like the gas over there. Apparently, all the payment systems were the target of the Iranian gas stations, which is why people are having a very hard time paying for things. They seem to have a temporary workaround by everybody using cash to get around it, of course. So that is something our Swedish friends need to keep in mind, considering that Sweden doesn't have cash. It's all entirely digital. But as we discussed briefly when we talked about this last time, Sweden's POS systems, where people swipe their credit cards, are all heavily monitored and verified by the government and have an extra layer of surveillance on them to make sure that they're not sending packets back to Beijing, as was in the case here. So in this article, it says that in an official statement, investigators say, I read that bit. Oh, no. Investigators say that they were executing court-ordered search at the warehouse as part of a federal investigation and that the inquiry included the Department of Customs and Border Patrol, Border Protection, the Naval Criminal Investigative Services. The FBI has not responded to requests for comments. Several days ago, Krebs on Security heard from a trusted source that the FBI began investigating PACs after a major U.S. payment processor, like MasterCard or Visa, for example, started asking questions about unusual network packets originating from the company's payment terminals. According to that source, the payment processor found that the PAC's terminals were being used both as a malware dropper, meaning they're stealing your credit card information, a repository for malicious files, meaning they're hacking the company that's using the product, and as command and control locations for staging attacks and collecting information. FBI and MI5 in the UK are conducting an intensive investigation into PACs. The source said a major U.S. payment processor began asking questions about network packets originating from PACs terminals and were not given any good answers. Krebs on Security reached out to PACs Technology CEO on Sunday. The company has not responded yet to any requests for comments. The source said two major financial providers, one in the U.S. and one in the U.K., had already begun pulling PACS terminals from their payment infrastructure, a claim that was verified by two different sources. My sources say that there is tech proof of the way that the terminals were used in the attack operations. The packet sizes don't match the payment data they should be sending, nor does it correlate with telemetry these devices might display if they were updating their software. PACS is now claiming that the investigation is racially motivated.
Sure.
One of the interesting parts here that you have this with PCI, this with payment card infrastructure, and the PCI standard is quite harsh. It's quite straightforward, and as I see it, if they have these inclinations that they are involved in this one, they should be pulled from all of these point of sales instantly, because Visa and MasterCard, and as well as Diners, Amex, will probably turn the gun and say, okay, if you decide to continue to use these devices, all claims are directly on you. We are not going to take any blame. So by ripping off the PCA clearance from the point of sales terminals, I would say the stock will be obliterated in seconds.
The stock has plunged. Here's the next headline. Nikkei Japan. Shares of PACS Global Technology plunged 43.3% in Hong Kong on Wednesday. That's today. Before going into trading halt, meaning they had to stop trading because the stock had fallen so significantly. Amid media reports of law enforcement raid on Florida warehouse belonging to Chinese payment terminal maker. In a statement to local media, the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, that's the FBI, said that it was executing a court-authorized search in furtherance of federal investigation. The agency said the raid was in partnership with the Department of Homeland Security, yada yada. The company is looking into the matter and will make further announcements as and when appropriate. An analysis.
And then the spicy part, and we were wondering in the nighttime show, why would the NCIS, the Naval Investigative Services, be involved? And I think last night we realized that these are installed at naval bases and stuff like that, or, you know, military installations everywhere, because they need to, you know, use point of sale services in the cafeterias, etc. So this could have also revealed
commissary
a lot of
transaction. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Really would have potentially revealed a lot of sensitive military topology. So.
And I was going to say, though, the military has a store.
Hey, this is, I was going to tell you, the government, well, at least for the military installation, we're not supposed to or not allowed to use stuff that's from China. So that might be, I mean, there is the Navy Time Intelligence, which, you know, they gather information too on stuff like this, but they're not supposed to use any of like products that are like from China, especially tech. So that would be interesting, because that's what happened when they found out Lenovo was installing malware onto the laptops back, I think that was like 10 years ago. But yeah, we're not supposed to use that. So
the hard part is if like the government contracts with like a Sodexo or something for food service, and then they bring in their own infrastructure. But yeah, I'm sure military would segregate those network segregate that network traffic. But still, there would be some topological information just because those packets would be leaving from somewhere. So I'll shut up.
The POS system is the same as civilian POS system. It doesn't have a contractual agreement with an American system at all. So they'd be just as vulnerable.
Tyler, just like furniture. Tyler, can you check the hand raise, please?
Okay, so the next one is...
Hey, Tyler, before you move on, I may have your answer on China Telecom. Okay. I did a quick thing, and I kind of thought this might be it. They're actually operating in the United States as an MVNO, which basically means they're a reseller of a larger network. Mm-hmm. So they were a reseller of Sprint.
Yep.
The Sprint network's actually shutting down December 31st as because of the T-Mobile merger. Mm-hmm. And perhaps they needed permission to, like, now move every, you know, they would have to move to T-Mobile because I think they're using, by the way, the Huawei handsets here, right? But those are CDMA, and the only CDMA network in the U.S. is T-Mobile. So if you were on Sprint and you have a phone that can still work maybe with a SIM card, and not all the Sprint phones will even work on T-Mobile, the only place to go with that phone really was well, you can go to Verizon because they're CDMA too, maybe. But they just didn't want them in the country anymore, and they probably needed permission to move to another U.S. network because they were on the Sprint network, which is actually shutting down at the end of the year. That would be my has something to do with that, probably.
I appreciate that. Now watch this. This gets crazy real fast. So here's a quote in that article. It says, PAX is the third largest provider of electronic payment terminals in the world after Florida-based Verifone, which might be their neighbor there in Florida. That would be interesting to find out. If somebody could look up the location of Verifone in Florida and PAX in Florida, because I have a suspicion that PAX is strategically set up their office next door to their competitor, Verifone, because that's what they did in Sweden when Huawei opened their office literally next door to Ericsson, where they did their best to try and get all the juicy data. Now, here's a quote. Watch this. The full force of the United States apparatus is now aimed at China, said Paul Schulte, a former U.S. National Security Council analyst who now runs finance technology research company Schulte Research in Singapore. The war of terror is over. The war on China has started. The systems will be unplugged one by one.
It's only like 4 years too late.
They are in the same area, Tyler. Not directly across the street, probably about 40 miles away from each other, but close enough.
You checked it out on Google Maps?
Yeah. Thank Verifone you. Is like near South Beach, and then PAX is like near Palm Beach, like a little bit higher up.
Close enough to trade peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on a benchtop.
So what's concerning about this is, as L pointed out, if the U.S. is going to continue with this unplugging one by one of Chinese services doing business in the U.S., Agora, of which some social audio apps are built, multiple social audio apps are built on top of Agora, the U.S. might decide Agora is a Chinese company, and they could be giving the using that to the CCP's benefit in some way. Agora is potentially vulnerable to this quote-unquote war on China, as this gentleman says.
Paul, I mean, we saw what happened with Zoom when we found out, you know, their video was being relayed through servers in Beijing. I mean, there was a huge uproar, and the U.S. government still doesn't use Zoom, which is a U.S. company with a U.S. citizen founder, Eric Yuan. And so, you know, I don't see how Agora can stand when Zoom got such scrutiny.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Like, you know, Clubhouse is built on it. Are they going to be making plans to move away? So, yeah.
That would be a great question for the town hall. So
add the folks on Twitter, everybody.
The China.
Yeah,
I want to see, yeah, oh, here's a piece. By the way, we have a four-way today, Chris. More than a threefer.
It's a turkey.
From the, we have turkey coming up shortly as well. China, the headline from The Atlantic is, China is watching you. With generous state support at home and low-cost sales abroad, Hikvision has become a world heavyweight. By Jonathan Hillman. And then it says about the author. Jonathan Hillman is a senior economics fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and a director of its Reconnecting Asia program. He is the author of The Emperor's New Road and the Digital Silk Road. He says, even if you've never set foot in China, Hikvision's cameras have likely seen you. By 2017, Hikvision has captured 12% of the North American market. Its cameras watched over apartment buildings in New York City, public recreation centers in Philadelphia, the hotels in Los Angeles, public police departments used them to monitor streets in Memphis, Tennessee, and Lawrence, Massachusetts, London, and Massachusetts, London, and more than half of Britain's 20 next largest cities have deployed them. Hikvision's reach requires a map to fully appreciate it. A recent search for the company's cameras using Shodan, a tool that locates internet-connected devices, yielded more than 5 million results, including more than 750,000 devices in the United States. The results map, which uses red dots to represent devices, looked like a coronavirus pandemic tracker with clusters of activity in major cities. Offering huge discounts to American redistributors, Hikvision has supplied cameras to Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado, as well as U.S. embassies in Kiev, Ukraine, Kabul, Afghanistan. More than 90 companies relabeled the cameras with their own brands. According to IPVM, a surveillance industry research group, citing national security concerns, Congress ordered federal agencies to remove Hikvision cameras by August 2019. The U.S. government struggled to find them all. The company began as a Chinese state entity and maintains close ties with the China's communist leaders. The China Electronic Technology Group Corporation, a fully state-owned defense industrial conglomerate, is Hikvision's largest shareholder and straddles the military and civilian sectors, producing such varied goods as lasers and washing machines. Since its public listing on the Shenzhen Stock Exchange in 2010, Hikvision has, if anything, strengthened its connections with the government. It's a symbolic relationship. In 2015, the chair of Hikvision emphasized the importance of integrating Communist Party policies with business development goals. Not long after, President Xi Jinping visited Hikvision headquarters, and the government provided Hikvision with $3 billion of credit. You know, to grow faster.
Tyler, yeah. The thing is here that I work with a big data analytics platform, as some of you know. And the thing was here that we were working with a large chain of supermarkets in Sweden, and they have these cameras. And since we in our platform actually can handle log files, very much like Splunk, I said about, hey, these cameras, they have syslog services. You could actually send your logs from the cameras so we can see if they are doing okay, if the temperature is okay. You send the syslogs to us? Yeah. Oh, it looks like they have some kind of debug message. Turn on that. We can handle the data load. That's no problem. What actually happened is that in the ASIC of these bloody cameras, the facial recognition hardware, when you put it into debug mode, the chip awakens, even though that these supermarkets had chose not to implement or purchase a facial recognition software of GDPR reasons. The hardware was still there, and by putting the camera in debug mode and having it sending it to a syslog server, we did get the face fingerprints of everybody that even passed by a camera in this supermarket. And now we come to the really, really horrendous stuff. Since the system we are working with also have control over the passage system, where you swipe your card to get through the doors, etc. And some of these cameras, very much in banks, you have a camera in the height of your nose when you pass through one of these high security doors into the bank. And they have these into the vault in the supermarket where they handle all the cash. We, in Sweden, we have not much of cash, but we still have cash handling. So what our system did do was that it mapped the card to the face fingerprint. We didn't know what this very unique checksum that occurred in these logs, in these debug logs from all these cameras was, until we actually saw that, okay, when we can call her Eve, went forward to the cash vault and swipe her card, and we did get the fingerprint and the card. Our system there's a high probability that this checksum that comes from one random system correlate with these number series, that because they have been occurring from this device several times. Is this something you would like to monitor over time? I can say the face of the security officer of this huge supermarket chain, he went pale when I said, I can identify your personnel by fingerprinting them by the cameras. And this was almost 1.5 years ago, Johan Dunn.
Tyler, it would be great to get Charles in the room. I haven't seen him in a while, so I don't know if he's still around, but.
Okay.
I pinged him.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's, as you said, there's a three story. This one from the Atlantic is just highlighting the Hikvision. But so it's really
this has been years and years unwinding, because I know I'm a broken record, but it's that China chips story where the servers were already infiltrated. So when your servers are already infiltrated, you need to replace those before you start dealing with the peripheral, you know? So it looks like we're finally getting to the peripheral stuff now.
So check this out. So totally related, but not a top story, but an article that I found today, this just came out today, is, it's not even an article, it's a research paper from University of Rome and University of Padua in Italy. Daniel Lane and Alberto Campagno, Mario Conto and Gene Sudik from University of California, Irvine, which is actually where you went to school, is it, Chris? And it says, don't Skype and type, acoustic eavesdropping in voice over IP. Acoustic emanations of computer keyboards represent a serious privacy issue. As demonstrated in prior work, physical properties of keystroke sounds might reveal what a user is typing during a Skype call. However, previous attacks assumed relatively strong adversary modules that are not very practical in many real-world settings. Such strong models assume many things. This paper presents and explores a new keyboard acoustic eavesdropping attack that involves voice over IP called Skype and Type. While avoiding prior strong adversary assumptions, this work is motivated by a simple observation that people often engage in secondary activities, including typing, while participating in voice over internet calls. As expected, voice over internet software acquires and faithfully transmits all sounds, including emanations of pressed keyboards, meaning the sound of your keyboard when you type, which can include passwords and other sensitive information. We show that one very popular VoIP software, Skype, conveys enough audio information to reconstruct the victim's input keystrokes typed into a remote keyboard. Our results demonstrate that, given some knowledge on the victim's typing style and keyboard model, the attacker attains top 5 accuracy, 91.7% accuracy, in guessing a random key pressed by the victim. So, to summarize, they're saying they've done a study internally, and they can predict with 91.7% accuracy which key you are hitting on a keyboard over a Skype call. Hence the title, Don't Skype and Type.
That's astronomical.
So I will set, this came out today. So I will go ahead and tweet this one out for you to the Tech News Twitter account so you can see it. And there it goes, poof, into the internet, off through the pipes, into the interwebs. So back to the big, big headlines. The next one is from Casey Newton on his tech blog, The Platformer, where he says Francis Haugen's documents have been useful to the press and groups opposing Facebook, but reporting should now expand to examine Haugen and her backers' goals. Whatever that means. But on this issue of Francis Haugen and the Facebook whistleblower, there's an Casey's written another one. It says ex Facebook integrity member says articles on the Haugen leaks are based on internal posts and comments, making it hard to assign credibility as names are redacted. Now, Benedict Evans, who used to work at Andreessen Horowitz and who has one of the biggest tech email newsletters, had a really interesting tweet thread that I will tweet out now so you can see it and have a laugh as I did. It says, I don't think many future of work presentations in 2015 included that Slack will mobilize and scale internal dissent and disputes from an argument over lunch to a 10,000 person flame war, or any random person in the company can walk out the door with 10,000 documents they didn't work on. He says, I know there are